All right, I think we're good. So my name's Robin Samuel. I'm a partner in the Los Angeles office, and I'm a member of the Employment and Practice Group. And this year I'm serving as the Employment and Compensation Practice Group. And this year I'm serving as the ENC member on the North American Summer Associate Committee. So in the next few minutes, I'm gonna share with you all an overview of the Employment and Practice Group, and in particular, the parts that I really enjoy about it. So, but before that, let's start with Trace. This is my dog, Trace. You may be thinking, why are you starting with a picture of your dog, Robin? And the reason is times are different now. With the work from home situation we have going, Trace is my constant companion. And I think he's a symbol kind of the resilience that the law firm has shown and that all of its lawyers have shown over the last few months, and that you all are now showing with your virtual summer associate program. Trace is a Bernedoodle. He's normally a lot fluffier than he appears in this picture. But he had a shelter haircut, which I guess happens to poodles when you don't groom them and you don't take them to the groomer on a regular basis. They have to pretty much shave them down after a while. So that unfortunately happened to Trace. But I think he still looks pretty good with his 4th of July bow tie. As you can tell, he's pretty excited about the upcoming holiday. Actually, Trace is tolerating my daughter, Jolie, decorating him for the 4th of July because she loves to decorate. Doesn't matter what the holiday is, she's going to get super excited about the decorations for that holiday. Spent a lot of time on it, and usually Trace ends up being part of the plan or a victim of her decorations. So enough about Trace. Let's talk a little bit about the Employment and Practice Group. And I think it's one of those practices that is unique in the firm and also in just in general, because if you are a member of the Employment Practice Group, you certainly can specialize and focus on one particular area. But most of us tend not to do that. We tend to be both litigators and counselors, especially in North America. And I think that is, so, as I said, somewhat unique to the group. You know, in the litigation practice group, they focus on litigation, and the tax group, they mostly focus on tax strategy and planning. But in the employment context, you can wear both hats and not only help clients understand what the law is and how to comply with it, but when they don't follow your advice or they haven't yet met you and they do something wrong, you get to defend them in litigation. And that brings variety to the practice that I think is helps keeps things fresh and keeps us on our toes, makes us better litigators to understand what the law should have been or how an agreement should have been drafted. And it makes us better counselors to understand how things go in litigation. So the practice group, as you see on the slide, really breaks down into sub practices. And in the North America ENC, we pretty much are a full service practice. We cover all of the things that you see on the slide. So just starting on the left-hand side, in the litigation context, we handle a lot of wage and hour class actions or some individual wage cases. Non-competes, non-solicits, trade secret litigation, that has been really on the rise the last 3 or 4 years, and our practice group handles a lot of those cases. We also have dedicated trade secret practice lawyers at the firm, and we often work in conjunction with them because our employment clients typically refer cases to us and we handle them. And sometimes when we need more specialized expertise, we reach out to our co-practice groups. We also obviously handle a lot of whistleblower retaliation claims with large international clients. You know, they are often finding that they have difficulty with employment situations across multiple jurisdictions. The rules are different, and they try to bring uniformity and consistent practice across their company, but that's often very difficult to do and can lead to litigation. Next up, the employment counseling practice. And that really focuses on the day-to-day, like how do you operate your business with employees? How do you comply with the law in each of the jurisdictions where you have employees? What are the framework that you need? What is the framework that you need in order to successfully maintain your workforce, grow your workforce, et cetera? And again, we really run the gamut here from employment contracts to handling separation agreements to conducting investigations when there's a workplace issue. We can pretty much do it all as a practice group. The employment group at Baker is somewhat unique in that we also get involved in transactions. So, now, frankly, the employment practice group generates a lot of transactions for our transactional group, our M&A lawyers. But when our clients are buying a company or expanding into a new market in a new territory, or they are spinning off a business unit, we're often involved. I mean, every business has to pay tax. Every business pretty much needs real estate, although less so today. And every business has employees. And so those practice groups are typically involved in pretty much every transaction. And this is now, you know, clearly on the transactional side of the practice. But when businesses go through change, either expansion or contraction, employment issues are often the most difficult for clients to deal with. And so we get involved to help. Lately, with what's going on with the economy, there's been a huge surge in need for assistance with layoffs and salary reductions and furloughs and more of the cost-cutting type measures that clients sometimes have to, unfortunately, go through. And we've been involved in a lot of that in North America. We also do more long-term work, or I guess longer horizon work with clients on privacy issues, on strategic HR projects like pay equity. Our practice group in particular is viewed as kind of a partner to our clients. And so when clients are looking strategically at where they want to be down the road, they will turn to us and say, how can you help us get there? What are the tools you have to assist with that? Moving around on the right-hand side here, another important part of the practice group is immigration. Obviously, with international, multinational clients, they want to move employees around. They need to do that lawfully. And our immigration team is really unparalleled amongst the firms. We can help clients move employees anywhere. And the network that we've established of all the different offices and immigration lawyers can do immigration work for clients in an incredibly efficient way, but in very complex situations as well. A smaller part of our practice also focuses on unions and collective bargaining. And supply chain issues, codes of conduct, but we certainly cover that as well. And then compensation and equity is last, but definitely not least. This is another area where Baker McKenzie really doesn't have an international competitor. Our firm was one of the first firms to help the Silicon Valley tech companies as they expanded globally. In terms of equity share plans and rolling out, you know, what it was basically, you know, U.S.-centric equity systems to other parts of the world and complying with the securities laws and registration requirements and privacy issues in those jurisdictions. The Comp and Equity Group also focuses, obviously, on executive compensation issues and also employee benefits, health and welfare, and also retirement benefits. And it's an excellent practice group or sub-practice within the Employment and Compensation Group. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. This slide is really looking more at the combined ex-US or outside of the US and US practice. There are plenty of employment firms in the US that can do a great job with the day-to-day counseling and litigation work that US companies have. There are very few firms that can help those clients with those issues overseas, keeping everything in-house without referring work out to smaller firms around the world. We happen to be one of them. And Baker McKenzie has been ranked by Chambers in band one in international employment ever since they came out with that metric, which was about 9 years ago. And there are no other firms that have that ranking, and none have in the last 9 years achieved that ranking. So we really are unique. And again, it's great because it's an entry point into all of these amazing clients that need assistance as they expand out into other parts of the world, whether it's with litigation or counseling or expansion or transactions. And we have that here, and we can provide it. On the US side, on the North American side in Canada, we're a little bit behind. We're building it out. We want to get to the point where we are viewed as exceptionally strong in both areas. And we've made great strides. I joined the firm 2.5 years ago, now in March of 2018. And since I've joined, Baker has hired we actually hired another four. So we've now hired 10 US-focused employment partners in the last 2.5 years, which is an incredible expansion and something that's, again, unique to this firm. There are not a lot of firms that are growing their employment practices the way Baker has in North America. And a lot of firms, frankly, view the employment as kind of a necessary but not necessarily strategic practice. And that's not the case at Baker. The employment group is one of the strongest practice groups in the firm, and it generates a ton of work for the other practice groups. And frankly, it's an incredibly cohesive and well-run machine. We all are constantly meeting with each other, almost too many meetings. We're constantly getting together, now mostly virtually, but before we would meet multiple times a year in person across North America. In my 2.5 years here, I don't have a single complaint about any of my colleagues in the employment and compensation practice group. They're all wonderful and supportive and really looking to help grow the team collectively. All right, so moving on. This is kind of headcount by office. As you can see, we're kind of spread across the US, Mexico, and Canada. But from these locations, we can pretty much serve any spot in North America where we are needed. And by the way, these numbers are a little bit out of date. As I mentioned, we've hired some more recently in New York, and California has also grown recently. But this is the most recent headcount slide I could find for today. It's a little bit out of date, but the numbers are bigger. This is our global ENC steering committee, and this is effective as of tomorrow. Mike Brewer is assuming the chair. Mike is a partner in the San Francisco office, and like me, he's both a litigator and a counselor on the employment group. He's taking over the chair from Gunther, who was in our German offices. And as you can see, the steering committee has a basically regional member, and then Susan Iondi, who's also in Palo Alto, sits on the committee as a member at large. And for your purposes, as part of the North American Summer Program, the three important people for you to know are Mike, George, and Susan. Everyone's important, but they're the ones who are most directly involved with the Employment Practice Group in North America. All right, this is kind of the pillars of our structure. So our go-to-market approach is we have a transactions group, a disputes group, and an advisory practice. And then you can see how those are assigned out here. And then resident within those go-to-market practices are the different compensation, labor and employment, and immigration groups that I've mentioned. We've also developed synergistic services, and that is a team that looks strategically at projects that clients need that we can roll out in the form of a product to our clients. So for example, a couple of years ago, many clients were facing difficult issues with independent contractor classifications, especially in the tech space with the gig economy. A lot of startups had grown rapidly using only contractors. The law, in California and the US, wasn't particularly fond of that business model. And so clients have had to struggle with adapting to the law and making sure they can set up their businesses to succeed. And a lot of times this is a bet the company case. I mean, if you're telling Uber that they have to reclassify all of their drivers as employees, you can bet your Uber ride's gonna be a little bit more expensive down the road. So we've rolled out a synergistic service that focuses on independent contractor classifications and that clients can use as a tool to understand what they need to do and when they do it and what are the implications of what's involved. Our vision statement, we want to be the council of choice for clients for global employment needs. I'm not gonna read the whole vision statement to you. It's sort of a summary of the points I've covered in the prior slides. But I think it's important to know, and we constantly check ourselves against the vision statement, making sure we are progressing towards it in a strategic way. And like I said, this is a expanding, growing, exciting practice group at the firm. And I'm very glad that I was able to join it 2.5 years ago. And I encourage all of you, if you have the opportunity this summer, even if you're not necessarily interested in employment, to seek out, you know, an employment assignment or try to work with one of our employment lawyers in the practice group, just to get an idea of what's involved. I think, again, you know, employment is something where Every new client you work for, you have to understand their business. And that's often different from the last client. In order to help them with their employment issues, you have to understand how they operate and what their terminology is and how they treat their employees. And then you can be best positioned to help them. And that, you know, brings, you know, I'm always learning as an employment lawyer. I'm always learning about a new business or industry or type of company that I might not have had to deal with before. I know the employment law cold. I know the employment issues, but I'm learning about a new industry or business, and that has helped me over the years keep the practice fresh and keep me engaged and on my toes as well. The other thing I'll say about the employment law area is it's highly personal, and that's not for everybody. Obviously when employees are involved, they're humans and they have emotions, and companies take things personally and employees take things personally. So there's often a lot of drama and a charged atmosphere, especially in the employment litigation context. Again, some people enjoy that because it adds a difficulty or complexity to the situation. Never ceases to amaze me how two companies can be battling each other over some corporate issue and agree to a settlement much more easily, even though there's a lot more money at stake, than they will when there's employment issues and there's kind of personal animosity on both sides. And it's not necessarily just about money. It often is, but not always. And so, you know, employment, I think, is unique in that regard as well. One other thing I'll say about the employment practice group, and you all may, as summers, have an opportunity to participate in this. We are very active in terms of publishing. Client alerts, we have an employment blog in the U.S. And in Canada and Mexico. We are constantly doing seminars and webinars and trying to develop and publicize thought leadership so that we can demonstrate our capabilities to our clients and also potential new clients. And so there, you know, this practice group in particular is publishing an alert or an article or blog post or something similar pretty much every day. And it's great to be a part of that because it helps me as a lawyer learn. You know, I read my colleagues' posts and I learn a new issue. But also I think it places us kind of at the forefront of the practice area. And it gets us noticed with clients and peers. And this last 3 months has been the Wild West for employment lawyers. I mean, we're having to make it up as we go along because with, you know, the pandemic and the kind of the rapid change that has followed from when we first heard about the pandemic to when businesses were ordered to close, you know, some could still operate. How could they do that? All right, now we're getting to reopen. What do we need to do in terms of testing and workplace safety and cleaning? And what do we do when our first employee tells us that he or she is positive? And then all of the cost-cutting things I mentioned as well. We've literally been working around the clock on the fly, trying to keep up with the pace of developments and fit all of these really unique circumstances for the pandemic into old, frankly, employment laws and see how they work. And sometimes they don't fit nicely. So we have to be creative lawyers and help our clients understand what the possibilities might be. But it's been exhilarating and a great time, frankly, to be an employment lawyer. I could use a little less at this point. You know, after 3 months, I'm getting a little tired of the constant work, but the practice group as a whole has been very supportive of each other. And we've, you know, organized all of these working committees and weekly calls and sometimes even daily meetings just to so that keep ourselves apprised of all the developments and how we're thinking about these somewhat complicated legal issues. And I think that was it in terms of my presentation. Happy to take any questions if anybody wants to unmute themselves and ask, or you can have 5 minutes back for your day. Either way. I don't know. Do I have to unmute you guys or you can do it yourselves, I think, right? Oh, somebody raised a hand. Let me see.
I'll bite.
Alex.
Hey, thanks for your presentation. I'm just curious, this is a bit broader of a question, but given that you've been at the firm for 2.5 years, what have you learned or seen or things that you would think about if you were in our shoes starting fresh?
Yeah, I think, first of all, you're fortunate because I think you've joined a great firm. You know, I've been at three firms over the 20 plus years I've practiced now, and each one's different. All firms say the same thing. They all say we're collegial and we're great friends and we love each other and we're working on the most exciting work. But there are differences. And, you know, at Baker, the people really take the time to get to know each other and to get to know each other's family members. You know, maybe other firms, they might not have started this presentation with a picture of their dog. But at Baker, that's kind of, you know, that's perfectly acceptable. And we will have an all hands town hall where they'll feature, you know, pictures of people working with their dogs or their dogs being cute or cats or whatever the pet happens to be. And so there's kind of a cultural aspect to this firm because of the way it developed when it started in Chicago and then the second office was in Buenos Aires. It really needed to find a way to stay connected because it was so spread out all over the world. And the firm has done that over the years by really investing in people getting to know each other. And that again translates into an awful lot of meetings. You know, there's a kind of pause on the meetings right now because of the pandemic, and which is a challenge for you all. But I think one of your most important jobs as a summer associate, besides demonstrating that you have great potential as a lawyer, is to get to know as many people as you can at the firm you're working with. I'm not saying you have to become best friends with everybody, but you should introduce yourself to people that you see in the hallways or, you know, virtually whenever you can, and tell them who you are and ask them about themselves. And yeah, I think if you have the opportunity to work with different people across different practice groups, obviously, you know, push for that. The broader group of people that you can meet and get to know a little bit, the better sense you'll have of what it's like to be a lawyer here at Baker McKenzie, and what it's going to be like to practice with these folks down the road if you come back after your summer. So I think demonstrate good work and ability, and then spend the rest of your time getting to know as many people as you can. Those are what I would recommend. And Baker's, you know, it encourages people spending time with each other. So again, I think you'll find it's relatively easy to do what I just said. Anybody else? Come on, there's 71 of you. Somebody's got to have a question there. All right, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for that presentation.
Sure.
I was just thinking, like, as an employee that's in employment law, like if you're kind of hyper aware, like when Baker makes certain employment decisions and just like how you'd grade, like, or what that experience is like being an employee in employment law.
You mean being an employment lawyer, and when I see the firm do things?
Yeah, so like
I crossed my fingers behind my back. No. I'm just kidding. The firm wants to try to do the right thing. Sometimes it has to make difficult decisions, and typically the employment practice lawyers are actually counseling the firm. Not all of them, but you know, some of the leadership team is typically involved in counseling the firm and on the best way to go about doing things, just the way we do with all of our clients. I think this firm tends to be very protective of employees, and you know, diversity and inclusion is mentioned in everything we do, and that's because it's a fundamental part of the firm. We're not perfect. You know, sometimes there'll be something put out by the firm that isn't said the best way or could be said better, or frankly sometimes is just not compliant, but we usually fix it. and we usually try to make sure we're looking at things from different angles, especially when it comes to our employees. So you know, I think this firm has, especially with the recent downturn in the economy as a whole and the legal marketplace, has demonstrated substantially more commitment to its people than some other firms have. You know, it could have been very easy for the firm to say, virtual summer is too difficult. We're not going to invest in the summer program. We need to save money. Let's just pull the plug. But obviously we didn't do that, thankfully. and I think that's emblematic of kind of what this firm is all about. I don't know if you've heard it yet, you probably have, but there's this thing called culture of friendship at Baker & McKenzie. And I kind of like snickered at it when I first joined the firm. I was like, yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Culture of friendship, but it's true. And I can't tell you, and you know, having been here 2.5 years, how many friends I have in other countries now, that if I were to visit that country, again, I won't be doing that anytime soon, but if I were to visit, you know, I'd be invited to their house to have a barbecue or drink a beer or hang out with their family. And my last firm, which I won't name, but I was there for 18 years, it wasn't that way. Great lawyers, great people, but there really is a kind of something that binds the Baker folks together. And you see that in all different kinds of ways. So hopefully I answered your question, Ryan. But it is a little weird sometimes being an employment lawyer when you see the firm doing employment things. All right. Well, if no one else has questions, feel free to reach out to me or any of the members of the ENC team throughout the summer. If you have an interest in getting an assignment, or if you just want to learn more about the practice, we remember what it's like to be a summer associate, and it's not always so easy to kind of part the reeds and see what the actual practice of law is going to be like in a particular area. So if you have an interest, let us know and we'll see what we can do to accommodate you. And thank you for listening to me. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Robin.